The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It was late one evening in 1964 when five young bandits brazenly breached the walls of the Lutheran fortress in Harvard Square and did the unimaginable. They moved stuff around inside the church. The deep red brocade cloth that hung behind the altar, gone. The altar rails, gone. Choir stalls also moved. A cover of night, this band of outlaws, later to be called the chancel activists, boldly disrupted this worship space, which was sacred for many, many years, 13 whole years. Not only did these heretics move things around, they also took pictures of their crimes. And then, stranger still, they put it all back together the way it was and snuck away before dawn. This is not the plot of a Dan Brown novel, but rather a piece of this congregation's history. It's a story that I have heard straight from the mouth of one of those chancel bandits. And I was sorry to hear that Wayne Welke is not actually on Zoom today, because I would like to say good morning. So maybe we can still say it. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
We forgive you for your crimes. I'm certain that I got many of these details wrong in retelling this story. But as we gather on this day to commemorate the great Protestant Reformation of 500 years ago, I think it is good and right for us to remember that Reformation was not a one-time event. It neither began nor ended with the nailing of 95 complaints on the wall of a church in Germany. By the grace of God, the institution we call the church has been changing, evolving, and reforming ever since that other small group of bandits met in the upper room on the evening when Jesus was raised and said, "Well, now what? Now what? Ecclesia semper reformanda est. The church is always to be reformed." The church is always reforming. Or as our denomination likes to tell us, we are always being made new. I must say that for me, rather than being a day of some kind of Lutheran pride, Reformation Day has become for me a reminder that living things change. Living things change. Living things grow. Sometimes things that are alive also die, but they don't ever remain the same. Did you know that human beings shed approximately 200 million skin cells during an hour? Which means that none of you will be the same when you leave this worship service, even if you sleep through this entire sermon. You will still be different when you leave this place. Thanks be to God. One of the reforms that is honored on Reformation Day is the fact that our brother Martin Luther translated the Bible from Latin into colloquial German. And why? We might assume that it was because he was being held in captivity in Wartburg Castle and for many months and he just needed something to do. But having lived through a pandemic recently, during which I neither wrote nor translated anything, I doubt that boredom was really his main motivation. Luther translated the Bible into German so that his neighbors could read Jesus' parables for themselves. And so that not only the priests, but also the shopkeepers and the fishmongers and the artists and the bread bakers and the women could encounter the one God whose expansive love was revealed to us through the cross and through the empty tomb, a God who is both human and divine, both crucified and risen, a living God whose spirit is still moving today through the church just as powerfully as she moved 500 years ago. Amen? Yes. Our brother Luther, with his many faults, we're not talking about that today, gave us a gift when he made holy words available to holy people, to us. If there is such a thing as Lutheran pride, for this I feel I can be proud. Reformation was not a one-man show. Reformation also was not and is not a one-time event. Reformation was and is a movement. And when we gather here on this day, what we remember, what we are honoring, is that Reformation, change, is part of God. It is who God is in the world and in us. One of the ways I would often describe my work as a missionary when I was working in Jerusalem was to say that my job is not to bring Jesus to Jerusalem. I think that they knew about him already. But that my job was to ask the question every day, what is God doing here and how can I get involved in it? What is God doing and how can I be involved? What is God doing today? And I wonder how we would answer that question in Harvard Square today. What is God already doing in this place? Over the last few weeks, I've had the opportunity to meet with our architect who is helping us to think and plan and organize towards a renovation of this building. And one of the images I love that Andrew gives us is of this place, this building as a city. And as a city, it has neighborhoods. There is the shelter on the lower level, which we are about to bless in honor of its opening. There's also this space, this main level where we worship, but we also have offices and also the floor lords dance. And also the Oriana Consort meets and the Du Bois Orchestra makes music. And then there's that upper level, which was at one time a Sunday school, but then became a different kind of sanctuary where an entire family was able to live when they were facing deportation. And let us not also forget the exterior of the building, which by the way, has become a refuge for people. People experiencing homelessness. It's become a refuge for people in this neighborhood because of those colorful chairs that we have, which make it a perfect place to sit and eat a piece of Pinocchio's pizza. Andrew reminds me that this place is alive. It may look like a brick fortress. It may look like something that never changes, but it is alive because we are alive. This is a refuge, this is a home, this is a center of activity, this is a place, and we are a people who are beautiful and we are flawed. In other words, we are a city, and the psalmist says, God is in the midst of the city. God is in the midst of the city, and it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Hear those words again, dear people. God is in the midst of the city. God is in our midst. God is in the streets and in the shelter and in your office and in your kitchen and in on your commute. God is a mighty fortress and a bulwark never failing. I don't even know what a bulwark is. I never have understood. What is a bulwark? But what I know is that God is here and with us. There is no place where you are where God is not. There is nothing you can go through that God has not gone through with you. Friends, do you know why we wear red on Reformation Day? It's not because it's a cool color and it looks nice and we happen to have red fabric in the back room. We decorate with red in honor of the martyrs who died for this truth, for the people who gave their lives in order to say, this is the truth of God. God loves you. There is no place you can be where God is not. There is nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing you can believe that will separate you from the God that loves you through Christ Jesus. The truth that God, who came among us as a child, who moves among us as wind and fire, this God is in our midst and loves you. And this God is still alive and changing, and we as a church are still alive and changing. And therefore, what next? What next? What now? What now is that we will take the next step and we will not lose heart, and we will pray and sing and hope and vote. Today, as you go out into the city from this place, nourished by the love of God in Christ Jesus through the bread and the wine, I pray you will go out knowing that you are embraced by this love. And I want to send you out with an image from another famous hymn, St. Patrick's Breastplate. And I invite you to say these words, repeat these words after me. Christ be with me. Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Amen. Let it be so.